Fly vardagen en stund med GVS ljudböcker.
Stenar och slagord flyger genom luften. Däck och bilar sätts i brand, hör vi genom våra kontakter.
Men det här är ju han. Cesar klappade Arturo på axeln. Vem han? Grinige byggaren från TV. Lyssna gratis på GVS ljudböcker. Finns hos Acast eller där du hittar dina poddar.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Krull och kriminell.
Internationell.
På ett av alla kaféer downtown Los Angeles träffar jag Lamar Glenn som berättar om livet och tankarna efter nästan 20 år som medlem i ett av världens mest omtalade och ökända gäng, Crips.
Okay, my name is Lamar Glenn, 33 years old, born and raised here in South Los Angeles.
How is the life in the gang?
It's tough because, you know, once I made that decision, you know, I made a commitment to death and destruction, you know, and, you know, I became a target, you know, it was times where, you know, people attempted to kill me, and, you know, I was shot at, you know, I had to prepare myself to be armed with weapons to protect myself. I experienced more encounters with police officers and going to jail, and it was just a 360, you know, so all the promise I had coming through school, the school system, you know, junior high, high school, graduating, was pretty much just dwindling down the drain, you know.
Lamar Glenn är 1,90 lång, svart, tränad och tatuerad på armar, ben och vänster ansiktshalva. Men det är ändå kläderna som avslöjar hans gängtillhörighet. De blå färgerna som han har på keps, tröja och skor är välkända signum för Crips.
I grew up in South LA, which is you know, it's a gang infested, you know, a lot of crime, a lot of gang activity, a lot of drug dealing and stuff like that. So, so growing up, I dealt with that, and it was at a young age, 16, 17, that a lot of the guys I grew up with, you know, started kind of gravitated towards gangs. And you know, I had ties with them, and eventually, as I got older, I started hanging out with them more, and I eventually decided to join the gang, originally for the purposes of making money, because I wasn't able to get a job. I have four brothers, two brothers now rest in peace. They were older brothers, and growing up, they were a part of the gang as well in our community, so which are Crips. I ended up joining the same gang as my brother, but you know, it wasn't because of him. It was because of a lot of friends that I grew up with were a part of this gang as well. He actually discouraged me from joining the gang. So.
Why?
Because he knew the lifestyle. He knew what it brings. You know, he had been shot before. He almost died before. He had been to jail. So he didn't want that for me. You know, he saw the potential that I could be something greater. You know, why settle for less? But, you know, at the end of the day, it was my decision. And my decision alone, and I made the decision, so it made him cry, but you know, once it was official, he kind of accepted it and kind of embraced it, you know. So.
Raymond Washington och Stanley Tookie Williams startade Crips 1969. Gänget växte snabbt och blev ett av USA:s största. Riktigt lika stora är inte rivalerna Bloods, men precis som Crips har sina färger i blått har Bloods blivit synonymt med rött.
So being that I was a Crip, there was also restrictions, you know, certain places I couldn't go with without being a target. If I did go, I would have to be armed and protected. You know, because one of our biggest rivals are our blood gangs, and they wear red. So being that I would wear blue, or you know, I would wear symbolic colors of a Crip, you know, whether it's a hat or shoes or whatever, or even a belt, because you know you can wear colored belts here that symbolizes where you're from. Navy blue or dark or like a royal, like a Dodger blue. You don't want to wear. It's certain hats that you. You would wear, because it would identify with your gang. So if I wore a baseball cap, it would, like for my neighborhood, it would have maybe a C on it for Crip, or a G on it for gangster. You know, I wouldn't wear a hat with an N or an H on it, because those stand for other Crip gangs that are rivals, because Crips do beef with other Crip gangs. So.
You know, all these beefs, what's it about?
Territory. Control of the drug trade. I kind of view it as like modern day tribe, you know. We're all, every gang, you know, Bloods, Crips, we have different gangs, and the Hispanics, we're all like kind of modern day tribes, and everyone wants to kind of dominate, have a dominance over a certain field or area, you know. It's all about kind of like control, you know. And you look at countries like in Europe, you look at like Russia, you know, how they kind of, how provocative they are, you know, with some of the things they do. When it, in terms of, you know, like with the Ukraine, you know, the Ukraine is not bothering anybody, but they want control, you know, they're kind of in a stance where they want to take over Ukraine, because it's all about making Ukraine part of, you know, Russia. You know, kind of if you look in history with like the USSR and some of that stuff, you know, so as big as Russia is, and sometimes as gangs, no matter what, we want more. You know, if we can defeat this gang, we can take over their neighborhood and territory. So, it's pretty much that. And most gangs you talk to, they have the mindset like it's us against everyone else. It's us and fuck everybody else. The police, these people. So,
so how come you fight internal? I mean, between different Cribs.
Kind of like I mentioned, it can be. For territory, you know, you want more territory. It can be over drug, you know, you want control of the drug sales.
So I thought, like, when you're talking about brotherhood, that's only for the gang itself. It's not, like, for the whole...
Yeah, it's only for the immediate gang.
Organization, I mean.
Yeah, but in today's world, there's no brotherhood even within inside the gang. So each gang is different. There's no one person that runs the Crips, no. The Crip is broken into many, many, many gangs, and many gangs operate differently.
Med ungefär 30 till 35 000 medlemmar i USA har internrivaliteten blivit ett stort problem. Ibland sträcker det sig inte längre än från ett kvarter till nästa. Och det är fler från Crips som dött i uppgörelser med andra Crips-medlemmar än i konflikter med rivaliserande gäng. Men gemensamt för alla är ordet som fått stor betydelse och ofta används av medlemmarna. Cripping.
So cripping would be, you know, as a Crip, how you conduct yourself, you know, being solid, which was considered like being, you know, tough. You know, if someone calls you out, you fight all your battles. You know, you shoot, kill, do whatever you have to do when necessary. You conduct yourself in a proper way in a prison. You know, you work out. You're militant. You're a leader. Stuff like that. So. You have to be a Crip to Crip. I mean, you have to be a Crip in order to be a part of the Cripping. You know, you can't be a SA or a Hispanic gang member. You can't be a Blood. Yeah, in order to be the Crip, to do the Cripping, you have to be a Crip.
Is it a long time? Do you have to like be a hang around before, or is it?
I mean, it helps, because the best way to learn how to Crip is by being around other Crip members. But preferably with experience and with, like you said, the OGs, because they're going to show you.
Are there any unwritten laws?
Yeah, like you always fight your battles. You don't turn down any fights, you know. You do what you have to do when necessary, all the time. You know, there's no beating around the bush, you know, you take care of business.
You told us earlier that you were a good, successful drug dealer.
Yeah.
What makes a good drug dealer?
Well, what I learned is, for one, I knew how to manage and save money. I learned customer service. I learned how to deal with people that were coming through and buying drugs from me. I had multiple connections. I had people who always had drugs. When they run out, I always had backup plans. So the main successful drug dealer was I had clientele. I had a lot of customers coming from different parts of California to buy drugs from me. I had good customer service. I made people feel, you know, safe and comfortable coming and purchasing stuff. And a lot of the same things that you kind of see in stores, I encourage in a black market with using drugs, you know. Incentive programs, you know. When people bring me customers, I would give them free drugs. When people come and spend a certain amount, I give them free stuff, you know. And I just make people feel good, you know. If they called me, they would be nervous, like, hey, you know, I don't got no money, I need credit. Like, hey, no problem, yeah, you go, no problem. Anytime. Simple, it was little things like that. They made them like, oh, you know, this is cool. They keep coming back. As opposed to going to all these other drug dealers. They felt comfortable coming to me. I wasn't going to rob them, because you have some drug dealers, you know, they rob, you know, it's a dirty game. Sometimes they'll rob their customers, they'll set them up, things that happen when their customers are coming to purchase from them, and they can go to jail. So I provided a safe environment. I was able to secure trust in the people coming. But that takes time. That's not something that happens quickly. It takes time.
How was it when you started? I mean, like, people trying to cheat you? And
yeah, it was rough. It wasn't easy. It was hard.
Do you have some story from that time you can tell us about?
So, 2002... I was maybe 18, 19 years old. I remember I stayed up all night selling drugs. So a lady I know who usually buys drugs from me, she brought some guy that she met somewhere in Watts, California, Watts, and by the projects. And he came through, and he wanted some drugs. And I gave him a $20 worth of drugs. And, you know, I'm standing by his car. And when I put the drugs in his hand, the same thing. He steps on the gas, and he stabs off. So I have my hand in the window. So this is about 6 a.m. I'm half asleep, and my pocket was heavy because I had a lot of change from the transactions overnight. And so while he's speeding off, I'm holding on to the window. I'm like, motherfucker, you must want to get shot, because I thought I had my gun on me. So my pocket was heavy, so I'm trying to grab my gun. I didn't have it on me. My pocket was heavy because of the change. So by the time I realized I didn't have my gun, and he's speeding out, and the lady that was with her, she's screaming, and so I'm running with the car. I'm like running with the car, and so I let go. I just flipped, and all this was scarred up. 6 a.m, so that's how I started my Saturday. I just remember being pissed off, like, man, fuck, you know, because in my mind, I'm like, man, I want to kill this motherfucker, man. He played me close, you know. So, and I end up seeing the lady that was with her. Like I said, I know her. I end up seeing her like a month later. And she paid me the money for it. She said, oh, you know. She didn't know who he was. She was just trying to get high. That's the purpose why she brought him over there. But yeah, that was a story. That was a hell of a story. Because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm about to blow his head off. But I didn't have my gun on me. And the whole time I'm running with the car like this. And, you know, the car is accelerating. And my feet's getting up. And I just flip. So.
What would you say is the biggest myths about gang life?
The biggest myths. I don't know. That's probably a question I would have to ask you. Like, what are some of the things you hear about in your country that people say about Crips or Bloods? And I can kind of say whether it's true or false, if it's exaggerated.
When people ask you questions and stuff like that, what was the biggest misunderstanding?
There's no real misunderstanding. I mean, pretty much what you hear is when some things are exaggerated. You know, you might watch a movie in your country, and you might see prisons and here in America are kind of dramatized to make it seem like it's super hard. Most prisons today in California, they're not super hardcore, but they are dangerous, you know.
But for instance, do you have to kill someone to be a gang member? Or do you have to do some things to become a gang member?
No.
How do you become a gang member?
It's just a matter of wanting to join the gang. And you would be initiated. So basically you would fight like four or five people at a time. Maybe about a minute, 2 minutes. And then from there, you're pretty much a part of the family. Different gangs do different things, you know. Some gangs might say, well, once you fought four or five people, maybe a minute apiece, now it's time to put in work, which is you go and try to shoot or kill somebody. In my case, that wasn't the case. My gang, it wasn't mandatory that you go shoot and kill people, you know. It was just mandatory that you be initiated, which is you fight four or five people. And then after that, you are expected to shoot and kill people, but it's not a requirement, you know, so.
What do you think about these fights?
They can be brutal. They can be tough. But it's kind of like a test. It's kind of like a way of kind of testing your heart before you join the gang. If you have the courage and the heart to fight four or five people, differently, you know, one-on-one or sometimes at the same time, it shows it's kind of like a testament of your character. Like, okay, now, you know, cool.
And then if you want to leave?
Some people, different gangs are different because different gangs are kind of structured more stricter. You know, some people, they leave, they just never come back.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
We can't find them.
What would you have told yourself when you know today about the gang life that you didn't know then?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I mean, I had a lot of good times, you know, in the gang life. I had a lot of good times, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. But at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it, because it's a lot of heartache, you know. It made me into an interesting person, you know, from the aspect that, you know, like today, you know, I think the gang culture, it made me somewhat temperamental. You know what I mean? Like, I can be real, you know, cool, laid back, but, you know, the stuff I experience with the gang, man, just like that, I can go, you know, I can go very, very, very bad. And obviously that anger started when I was younger with my dad, you know, and the tension I had with my dad, but the gang just magnified that. The gang lifestyle magnified, because every time I got shot at, it made me angry. Every time rival gangs came to the neighborhood trying to shoot at us or trying to do stuff, it made me angry. when I was in jail and things would happen to me, it made me furious. So a lot of things I did was sparked by fury. And the fury was created in the gang culture and lifestyle that I lived. It kind of was enhanced.
How was the gang life during time? Has it changed?
Yes. Right now, you know, gangs are more about drugs now. So you have a lot of people who are gang members that are addicted to crystal meth and heroin and crack cocaine and, you know, all these drugs. So, you know, when you have a lot of people that are living a gang lifestyle that are drug addicts, it's not a good combination because you have a lot of people out here doing crimes and hurting people under the influence of drugs. And that can be dangerous because innocent people get hurt and all type of bystanders are caught in the crossfire. So you become more of these people. So you have a lot of crimes that are happening that are reckless, very much reckless, because these people are doing under the influence of drugs.
Besides the drugs, how has the gang culture changed?
No loyalty. You know, people tell on each other a lot more today. The police pay people now to testify against their neighborhoods and their crimes, and the police offer a lesser sentence if you cooperate and get the next man convicted. So you have a lot of informants. You have a lot of infiltrators in the neighborhood. You might think they're, you know, the homie or part of the gang or your brother or whatever you want to call him. And he's really an informant, you know, and he's infiltrating the gang and providing intelligence to the FBI and the LAPD. So, you know, and that's where you hear about a lot of gang injunctions where gangs are being sent to jail under the RICO Act, federal corruption investigation type stuff. And you have a lot of gangs that are in the federal prisons now under federal investigation because of those reasons, you know, informants and, you know, gangs being infiltrated. So, you know, there's no loyalty today. When I came, there was more of a kind of respect, a loyalty, a camaraderie. To me today, it's not there.
Förutom Lott och Cripping har de också blivit kända för sin egen och speciella Cripwalk, eller Seawalk som de också kallas. En typ av rullande dans på pigga, studsande fötter.
The Cripwalk is a dance that Crips do. But what happened was, as when gangs kind of became popular here in America in the music, you had everyone doing the Cripwalk. But in reality, the origin of it, it's a lifestyle. You were supposed to be a Crip in order to do it, but then it went mainstream to where everyone's doing, like, you know, musicians and stuff like that. R&B groups, you know, popular, you know, pop singers were doing it. And that's where it became like a form of disrespect because people have died living a lifestyle as a Crip. And you have people like Usher or there was a group called B2K back in the day. They were doing it in their music videos, and they don't even have no idea what they're doing. So it's kind of disrespectful when a guy like Usher is doing a Crip walk. It's not just a walk; it's a lifestyle. It's a culture. As a Crip, that comes with that. Usher's not a Crip. Usher's not a gang member. So if he's Crip walking, that's a problem because Crip walking is tied into a lifestyle because you have people that have died as Crips.
Exempel på några gängmedlemmar det gått bra för är Snoop Dogg, Nate Dogg, Eazy-E, Warren G, Ice-T, Coolio, Scarface och Exhibit.
Of course I listen to a lot of Crip music, Game X, Snoop Dogg and all the guys that is affiliated with Snoop Dogg. But I also used to like oldies and R&B and, you know.
But Kenny Blood listen to Snoop?
Yeah, they do. And vice versa, it's Crips that listen to you know, musicians that are bloods like Mac 10 and The Game, and et cetera, et cetera. So it happens. That's fine. It's not like a rule that say you can't do it.
Det är svårt att sitta mitt emot en gängmedlem från Crips som har en tår tatuerad i ansiktet utan att börja tänka budskap och vad den kan stå för.
There's no sign for the Crips. Some people would say if they have a teardrop like this, I mean, they kill somebody. I think with the skinheads here in California, if they have a lightning bolt, it means they killed a black man or something like that. So it varies for the Crips. There's no one thing that you would get. It varies from different people. You know, my teardrop, for example, it represents the pain that I've experienced, you know, living the life I live. This is not symbolic for, you know, someone dying, but for a lot of people it is.
So your tattoo area with the tear in your face, is that before or after the gang life?
This was in prison, so this was in the mix. This was in the midpoint of the gang life, you know. So, But like I said, I got mine because it represents the pain, you know. So this is like a tear of me. This is like kind of like a symbolism of me crying because of the things I experienced. Not just in the streets with the gangs, but also in prison. You know, my mom passed away. You know, family members passed away. You know, people betray. You know, the betrayal I mentioned with the Brotherhood. Being shot, because I've been shot a few times by rival gangs. I've shot in people. Almost shot a kid, you know. Luckily, the gun jammed. So, you know, looking back, it just makes, you know, it just kind of makes me just shake my head like, damn. It makes me tear up, you know. Like, especially the situation, I almost shot a kid. I was like this, like, boom, and the gun, it didn't go off.
How come? How old was he?
How old was the kid? Or the kid was maybe 13. It was a accidental mistaken identity. And what happened was I was 20, and my neighborhood was beefing with a rival Crip gang, and there were some guys hanging on the corner that were they were staking us out from this gang. So I had my brother drive around and drop me off by a store through a back alley. So when I run out this alley with this gun, I should be running into the same corner they were just standing on. So I had a 357. I had a 357 where you have to cock it back to shoot. And God willing, when I come out the alley, I see a shadow. And I'm thinking it's the people that were just staking us out, the rival gang, but it wasn't. It was a little kid just walking through. And so I ran across the sidewalk, and as soon as I came under the thing, once I seen a shadow, I didn't want to, because I knew they had guns. We could see the guns. So I didn't want to waste time. So as soon as I came a corner, I'm like, click. And the gun, the bullet jammed, luckily. And this was a revolver, so, you know, that really doesn't happen with revolvers. So it said, click. And the kid was like, oh. And I just kind of froze for a second, like, what the fuck? And then I looked this way, and the guys that I was staying out were walking back. So I cocked the gun back again, and I shot at them. Oh, oh. And they ran back, and they kind of ran, and they started shooting back. Like, boom, boom. And so it's return fire. Boom, 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 boom. And then I ran. And just that quick, you could hear the kind of police helicopter, and I jumped in the car and got on. But I couldn't help but to think, like, I thank God that I didn't shoot that kid, man. That would have been traumatizing because, you know, one thing about gangs, they teach you to get your man. We're not in the business of hurting innocent people, you know what I mean? It's about getting your man. So that would have, even, I didn't think, you know, I haven't thought about it until today, but even thinking about it now, talking, it makes me kind of emotional. I thank God that I didn't shoot, because I'm pretty sure it was like right to the chest. We probably would have died.
En av många händelser i Lamars liv som nu ändå fått honom att börja ändra på sitt sätt att tänka för framtiden. Idag är han villkorligt frigiven med strikta restriktioner. Han får varken träffa eller umgås med personer kopplade till sitt gamla gäng. Han får inte ens klä sig i blått på platser som anses vara gängrelaterade och därmed riskområden.
There's really no purpose of joining gangs today in my opinion. But people join it for different reasons. They feel broken. They want acceptance. You know, people want to feel like they belong. And growing up in the neighborhoods we grow up in, it's easy to feel belong and feel acceptance joining these gangs. But as time goes on, we realize is that it's for the wrong reasons. And what we thought was an illusion. What we saw was an illusion. It's not really what it looks like. It's not really what it seems like.
What was your biggest disappointment?
The fact that this brotherhood within the gang turned against me over money. That was a huge disappointment, you know, over money. You know, once I became a successful drug dealer, you know, and some people still kind of struggled or didn't become successful, I didn't make the kind of money I was making, they turned against me. And they turned against me in the form of creating rumors and trying to smut or distort my character. You know what I mean? So,
how did it affect you? I mean, what did you have to do?
It hurt me one, but it made me angry and violent. So what I had to do was isolate myself one by one. So I started to separate myself from people. I couldn't trust people. I started not to like a lot of people, no matter, even though I had a lot of family ties and a lot of love for them. So it turned me against a lot of people. And I had to arm myself with weapons, you know, in the event that they mounted an attack on me.
Your own family?
Yeah.
In a way,
yeah. Sad, but it's the truth.
How did it end?
So one of the guys I was beefing with, he got killed. my rival gang member. And in the process of the murder investigation, my name was mentioned as a suspect. And the police eventually ended up coming raiding my house, and I engaged in a shootout with the LAPD, and was shot several times, and ended up going to jail for that. So I went to the hospital first, and from there I went to jail, and I ended up accepting a deal for 10 years, a prison term here in California. And my time in jail, I still ran and operated with the gang, and kind of conducted my business as a Crip would in prison. And when I paroled, I reached out to a few people and talked to them, and it wasn't the same. I just realized that, you know, it's kind of time to just let go. You know, I'm 32 now, you know. It's time to kind of move on for the best. Whatever it is I'm holding on to psychologically, I need to let go. And it was time to move forward with my life, you know, in a positive way. So that's when I just kind of just drifted apart and just separated myself from the gang lifestyle.
When you leave a gang, is it like in the MC world, then you can have like good or bad standing?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I don't really care what people think, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people turned against me and made me feel a certain type of way. So however people feel, personally, it doesn't matter. The people I talk to today from the neighborhood, you know, they respect what I'm going through. You know, they always, you know, most of the people are encouraging, hey, you know, you're working, that's right. You know, do what you have to do, you know, stay positive. And so that's my position. You know, I'm not, when I was younger, it was about reputation. I don't care about reputation today. You know, all thing I care about is living, enjoying my life and moving forward.
So, in 5 years, what are you doing?
Hopefully, in 5 years, I have a BA degree. I can see myself being hopefully a homeowner, you know, becoming a homeowner for the first time here in California. And in 5 years, that's kind of where I see myself.
And a lot of annoying kids around your legs.
In 5 years, no more than two. I can see myself. I see if I can have a boy or girl, I'll be good. Now, not a lot, maybe a couple.
Thank you for your time and good luck.
Oh, thank you.
Dude. Tack som fan att du lyssnar, och vi hörs såklart vidare. Men om det är något som du undrar över, vill komma med tips, råd eller vad fan som helst, så går det alltid bra att skriva via Instagram, krullokriminell, eller krullokriminell@gmail.com. Bock och bug. Ha det bra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier, and 7 nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
Fly vardagen en stund med GVS ljudböcker.
Stenar och slagord flyger genom luften. Däck och bilar sätts i brand, hör vi genom våra kontakter.
Men det här är ju han. Cesar klappar där Toro på axeln. Vem han? Grinige byggaren från TV. Lyssna gratis på GVS ljudböcker. Finns hos Acast eller där du hittar dina poddar.